Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word and sit at your feet today, be here by your Spirit, we ask, that we will catch a first glimpse of you and of the things you prepared for those who are faithful. And we pray that we will be among that number on that day. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Steps to Christ, page 1, it begins with these words. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is a source of life, of wisdom and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvellous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine, the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills, the seas, the plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all his creatures. And the beautiful word of the psalmist, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desires of every living thing. As we read these words, as nice as they all sound, reality is something different. Think about it. As nice as we like to think this place is, we are still at this moment living in a land of sin. Are we not? Every day we see evidence of this fact. People grow old, they die. We see accidents happening. We see people slaughtering each other. We are living in a world of sin. I remember a couple of weeks ago being at the Southern Cross station, waiting to catch the train to come up to Ballarat. And you know what it's like when you're just observing people. And I saw these two young ladies that would have been probably very early 20s. But they were stunning. They stood out. With their deportment, with the way they were dressed, the way their hair was, they were just done to perfection. And something just, I thought, boy, I bet they are models. Look beautiful. And yet, if time should last long enough, they too shall grow old. It's the reality of this world. And when we look at that, when you consider this fact, there is a message that it should all tell us. That being that we are not yet home. We're not yet home. I'm reminded of that fact when you come to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 verse 11. Those disciples were watching Jesus go back. They were watching Jesus go. And the two angels stood beside them that day and I said these words. Acts 1:11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Jesus is going to come again. You will recognize him when you see him. He will look the same. And there will be no doubt on that day that he has come. There is no doubt We will all know on that day when He comes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 we read, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Have you ever stopped and considered this scene? Jesus coming down from heaven. There shall be a shout of command. There shall be the sound of the trumpet. We won't miss it. We won't miss the event. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. Here we're given another added to this picture. "For in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Here we got this picture of Jesus coming. We shall be changed. It's going to be an amazing event. And then in Matthew 24, in verse 31, we read, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." You know, in these words we are given a beautiful promise that no one will be left behind who is faithful to Jesus. You know, there is nothing worse than being the one that is left behind. No one likes missing out. And you won't be left behind if you have Jesus in your heart. And that is a choice for us to make. And as we look at what the reward will be then it comes an extra incentive to be faithful. But the greatest incentive of all is to know that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Have we accepted that? Have we accepted that love today? Then, of course, there is the question of, but if we get there, if we have the privilege of being in heaven for the first 1,000 years that we're going to be there, what are we really in for? Can we know what is in store for those who are faithful, for those who have chosen Jesus? Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Come with me there. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These are interesting words. To live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Are we really going to be judging? Can't God do the judging? Of course He can. But what he wants most of all is for us to be happy with the decision that he has made. That we are left without doubt that the decision that he has made is just, that it is correct. That we are satisfied in our minds that those who are on the outside have no right to be on the inside. Then we come to verse 6, Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. For they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. As you read these words, there is one thing that should be clear to us all. We are now saved. When we get to heaven, we are then saved. We have nothing to fear. You are beyond the reach of evil. He cannot touch you. And when God does give out the punishment upon those who have done wrong, none of it will touch the redeemed. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. We'll then be safe. But then, what's heaven like? What is heaven really going to be like? Can we have a picture of heaven? Can we be given an insight as what this heaven will be like? Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. As we read these words, the thing that should hit us first is that everything is going to be new. Brand new. There is nothing second hand about heaven. There's nothing second hand about what we're going to experience. Heaven and earth will be new. And as we read further in this verse, we discover that there will be no more sea. Why no more oceans? What do we know about oceans now? It divides, does it not? It divides. It divides one country from another. But see, in heaven there's no division. We are all safe in God's care. We are all united. There is only one family in heaven. God's family. And to each of us is given the invitation that we can be a part of God's special family. In Revelation 21 verse 2, we read, And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We have a city. In heaven, in this new earth, is going to be a city. It's a special city. It is made by the hand of God. And in this city, we could say there is a penthouse there with your name on the front door. Revelation 21, 10 and 11, we get a picture of this city. There are more verses as well, but just read this. Revelation 21, 10 and 11. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and the light was like unto stone most precious, like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And as you read over the next few verses that follow, you discover that this city is made of precious gemstones. Beautiful city. Each gate is a pearl. Would you like to be a part of that? Would you like to see a beautiful city like that? You know, each of us is given the challenge is to keep our eye on the prize. I read in Hebrews 11. Come with me there. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, which is a faith chapter. But in this chapter is a beautiful little verse which speaks about Abraham. Abraham in Hebrews 11, verse 10. For he looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Abraham. There he was living in a tent. And yes, he was wealthy. But he kept his eye on the prize of heaven. He kept his prize on that beautiful city which God has prepared for those who are faithful. Abraham wanted to see that city. And when he passed away with the hope that one day he would see that city. Beautiful city. A beautiful city. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verse 3 says, And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God was with men. And he will dwell with them, and he shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, we read the words that God will be there. God will be there. We'll then be able to ask of him the questions that we have now that we're never able to have answered. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And God will sit down and explain it all to you. God will be there to share time with you. Revelation 22 verse 4 says, And when they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, we shall see him face to face. There's going to be that personal relationship with him. That God wants to have with you in that city. Now we talk to him through prayer, but then it shall be face to face. Revelation 21. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall be any more pain. The former things passed away. No more crying. No more sorrow. No more death. What a promise to make. No more temptation either. All these things that hurt us will be gone. Gone forever. This Friday coming I'll be attending a funeral at Warrnambool. An elderly gentleman who's 99. Let me say, that's a good age. And so it is. But Adam got the 940. And God's original intention was that there shouldn't be death anyway. And in the new earth there will be no death. No more death. But of course we can ask the question, but was John the only writer who had the vision of heaven? Was John the only writer who had an insight that this place is going to be special? Come with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25 and verse 8. He shall swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God shall wipe away tears from all faces. And the rebuke of his people will he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. No more. No more death. Here we have two writers that looked forward in faith to the day when there be no more death. They looked in hope, and we today should also be looking in hope with them. Isaiah 35, come with me there. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 43. Come with me there. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, that ye may know it, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A new thing is going to happen. A new exciting thing. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. What a picture. What a picture these words do paint. We see happy people who are saved. We have an earth that is made new and beautiful. The curse of sin has been removed. We are safe in the loving care of God. Revelation 22, verse 12. And Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Jesus is coming again. He is bringing with him a reward for all who choose to be faithful to him. He has got all things under control. And all we have to do is put our trust totally on him. In the book, The Great Controversy, the last three paragraphs of that book, we read these words. In the years of eternity, as they roll, will bring richer and still more glorious revelations of God and of Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. The more men learn of God, the greater will be their admiration of his character. as Jesus opens before them the riches of redemption and the amazing achievements in the great controversy with the hearts of controversy, the hearts of the ransom will thrill with more fervent devotion. And with more rapturous joy they sweep the harps of gold. And 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of voices unite to swell the mighty chorus of praise. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all of them that are in them heard I say, blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever. The great controversy is ended. Sin and sinners are no more. The entire universe is clean. One pulse of harmony and gladness beats through the vast creation. From him who created all flow life and light and gladness throughout the realms of illimitable space. From the minutest atom to the greatest world, all things, animate and inanimate, in their unshadowed beauty and perfect joy, declare that God is love. And when that happens, we shall then be able to say that yes, we are home at last. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how wonderful it will be when we do go home. Keep us all faithful to you, we pray, so that not one will be found wanting on that day, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.